Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
I think you're going to see less of Mitch Trubisky. I think you're going to see more of Mike Glennon.
No, God, please, no, no!
Take the hand up, they screen it left, and Kevin White is driven back by Matthew and brings him back for a loss.
They need to put something, even if it's a couple of first downs and a field goal.
A couple good things on tape for Mike Glennon.
He needs it.
Glennon out of the gun, comes to the near side. It's picked off, stepping in front of it as Matthew, he's at the 30. Glennon was staring down the near side, and Matthew broke on it. Beautifully brings it back 53 yards.
Take it easy, champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
What it would take for Trubisky to play as much, I would think, would be for Mike Glennon to look really good in the first quarter.
Good luck.
Glennon rolling, throwing deep, and whoa, he's going for a lot of coverage. Dangerous throw.
Matt Spiegel, Danny Parkins.
This year is my year.
Middays on the Score.
Certainly is Mike Glennon's year. According to the Bears, much to our consternation and pain on a Saturday night, it is the Spiegel and Parkin Show on a Monday. Good morning, Spiegel. Good
morning, everybody. It was Mitch Trubisky versus sleep for some of us late on Saturday night. Of course, I'm old, Danny, as you know, and we'll point out with regularity.
That's true.
And I fell asleep before the Mitch Trubisky portion and had to go back and watch the DVR late at night. And then this morning, watched the highlight package of everyone of the eight Mitch Trubisky throws during the game.
Must not have taken very long.
Did not take very long. Could have watched that again. Maybe I'll watch it three or four more times at the break. I'm going to remove the seemingly word from the way I've been phrasing the Bears quarterback season. The inevitable Mike Glennon portion of the Bears regular season is coming. They are committed to it. They are going to give it to us. And it's going to suck.
So is it fair to describe the Bears organization as scared? Because that's where I want to start today.
I don't think so. I don't think scared is fair. You do?
I'm wondering. That's where I want to have the conversation. Because explain it to me. You trade up and you draft the franchise quarterback, and then you don't give him a chance to win the job when the guy who is in front of him looks bad. If Glennon looked good, it's not a conversation.
They kept him in long enough and ran simple plays enough to make sure that he looked a semblance of good that they can sell.
So, listen, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, I loved the logic behind the trade and the selection of Trubisky, and I was not appalled by signing Mike Glennon because it's two quarterbacks who, in theory, have upside as opposed to zero from last year. Like, I was with the Bears on everything they did.
And now?
I just don't get it. I don't understand.
They want him to get playing time in the regular season. They want Mitch to take his time. And maybe there are some things that Mitch doesn't know how to do yet that we're not even aware of.
Right, which you have to be open to the possibility that maybe, just maybe, when they're going over film and when they're studying and on the practice field, Trubisky is just straight up lost. Like, you have to be open to that possibility. But even if you wanted to say all of the right things and put down expectations on the number two pick and build up your $18.5 million free agent signing and say it's Mike's year and all of those things, if you want to do all of that, now that you have two games of data and he was atrocious in the first game and he was mostly atrocious in the second
game. Yeah, those numbers will lie to you a little bit, and the fact that there was a touchdown drive will lie to you. He is Captain Checkdown with some wild turnovers mixed in, which is why he's Captain Checkdown.
Well, and Staredown. Even his completions were arduous. Like, they seemed almost accidental. And he should have had two picks. If you're being unkind, he could have had three.
Yeah.
The sideline one to Meredith, you could argue, you know, he throws that on the wrong shoulder. That could have been picked. The other one was dropped, right? So
he tossed up into triple coverage.
Yeah, on the rollout to the left.
But you're right on the stare down. One read, eyes locked in, late throw. And I know Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, is a badass. But boy, that play was just gross. And he's also just so slow. It's funny, Byron Leftwich was the quarterback coach on the other side of the field, because I was thinking about the length of time it takes Mike Glennon to make the throw. And these are some things that we knew, but watching it, and then as compared to a mobile, mostly accurate, beautiful, spiral-throwing, exciting emblem of hope that is going to spend a lot of time on the sidelines. That's a frustrating moment here.
Because people are, I'm reading it, I'm seeing it on the text line, our first caller who we'll get to, 312-644-6767, it says Trubisky is clearly the better quarterback. He looks better in the two games, but what did you, are you seeing enough? Are you putting him in a position to actually show you that he's better than Glennon? It was maddening to watch the game, see him hand off, what was it, 9 times to Josh Rounds, who is not going to make the team. He's being protected by Taylor Boggs.
Go ahead. I could be a friend to you.
Tom Compton, Cyril Richardson, William
I believe that's Cyril.
Cyril.
You respect Cyril Richardson, my friend. I mentioned his name as somebody to watch in the middle of the offensive line.
William
on Friday.
Poles.
And, yes. And, oh, Billy Poles. Good old Billy Poles.
And Bradley Sowell. Who are these guys?
Who are these guys?
I just don't. What happens to happen to me?
But yeah, but hold on. But you, before you tell us what you want to see in game three,
yeah.
I think I know where you're going. But they did everything. You know what they were doing? They did everything they could to cement Glennon's stranglehold on the job.
And
they want to quell the dream of the early Mitchell Trubisky ascension to the starting job. This played out just how they wanted it.
Yeah.
Because they are committed to giving Glennon a shot to see if there's anything there. And you know what? Logically, I get it. That's the thing. To me, like, logically, I understand where they're coming from. They don't believe they're going to be a playoff team. They have invested now in Glennon. It's conceivable that Glennon could progress a bit between now and week 3 or week 4 when I think he's still going to have this job.
So do I.
I mean, I
would bet on him still having the job too, but and I'm not even saying that if you play Trubisky in a more advantageous position that you have to give him the job week 1. I am simply saying
you want him to have a chance to win the job.
I want to give him a chance to win the job, and I want to see him with real NFL players. Is that too much to ask? I want to see Mitch Trubisky in a situation where maybe Kevin White shows up in the box score because he's playing with a strong-armed mobile quarterback.
See, I feel you on that.
I want to see him take snaps from whoever the week 1 center is going to be, whether it's Whitehair or Grasu or whoever.
I mean, you're trying to...
He'll just be one of those two, obviously.
You're trying to revitalize what could be, you know, the dying breaths of Kevin White's NFL hope. Don't you want a guy who might be willing and able to throw up a 50-50 ball to him to make a play? A guy who might be willing and able to extend a play, scramble, and give Kevin White a chance to come back and show you number one wide receiver skills
The reason why it comes off as scared to me is it's not a bad thing if Mitch Trubisky clearly outplays Mike Glennon. That means that Mitch Trubisky is better than Mike Glennon, and he's further along than you thought he was going to be when you drafted him.
Yeah.
Right? It's not in what world is it a bad thing that the number 2 overall pick, who's a quarterback who you thought was going to be developmental, is ready to start week 1? How is that bad?
I think they have it really, I really do think they have it locked in their minds that he's not going to be ready, and they don't want him to be ready. They don't want him to have to do it yet.
I get it. I just don't understand. Let me give you the comp. The Chiefs traded up and drafted Patrick Mahomes. They have a quarterback who's entrenched, who they are saying with everything. He is our starter. He's our starter. He's our starter. And Alex Smith. And Alex Smith has been there for years. He's won playoff games for them. But he is also, he's got an expiration date, which is the end of this season.
Uh-huh.
Right? His contract is up. They have drafted Pat Mahomes. Mahomes is the future. And I get it that if Patrick Mahomes plays well in the preseason, there's not going to be as loud of noise to start Mahomes over Alex Smith in Kansas City.
There'll be some, though.
But there would be some because Alex Smith is the original captain checkdown, right? Fewest yards in the air per pass of any quarterback in the NFL over the last 5 years.
But he's also a guy who's been to the playoffs and actually played very well in the playoffs a couple times in his life.
Absolutely. So he's got more of a stranglehold on the job than Mike Glennon, or at least he should. And the Chiefs put Pat Mahomes in the middle of the second quarter with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and the number 1 offensive line and all of it. And he looked amazing.
But don't you think, though, that that's why they can do that when you're Andy Reid. And first of all, you're established in your Andy Reid, but Alex Smith is established and is a confident known commodity. They can afford to do this kind of stuff with Pat Mahomes because Alex Smith is probably going to have that job and is certainly, you know, he's got cred. Mike Glennon needs to have his confidence lifted up. They've been telling him it's your year, it's your year, it's your year. He keeps saying it until he believes it.
Which brings me back to my question of fear. Are you afraid that Mitch Trubisky with the ones is going to so clearly outplay Mike Glennon that you'll have to give the job to your franchise quarterback and you're going to hurt the delicate, fragile sensibilities of your $18.5 million quarterback?
Well, now that part, yes, I think they're afraid of the second part. I don't think they're going to give the job to Mitch. So I don't think they're afraid that he's going to win the job. I think they're afraid that the delicate nature, or at least, you know, the seemingly delicate nature of their quarterback is going to be damaged. Or if it's not delicate, they just want to build him. They just want to build him. They feel like they need to. That position is so weird. It's so unique. And they feel like they need to. And they're trying to remind you not to want Mitch in week one. Don't want it.
Mike Glennon should be owed one thing and one thing only, and that is his salary. He should not. This is not a number one pick. This is not a guy who has won playoff games for you. This is not a guy with the history of the organization. Mm-hmm. This is not a guy on a long-term contract. He should not be owed anything in terms of reps and playing time. And if you're going to start Mike Glennon week one, fine. But then when is Mitch Trubisky going to get reps with good players? When is it going
to
happen?
It needs to happen this preseason.
It needs to happen Sunday. Because in the fourth preseason game, you don't want to play Cody Whitehair or your Cameron Meredith or those guys because you want to give them rest before week one against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday. He needs to come in. I don't care if it's the second quarter, the second series, whenever it is. I can't imagine a scenario where it would be in the best interest of Mitch Trubisky, which is what matters most for this season, to not play him with the starters against the Titans on Sunday. Like, give Glennon in the first quarter if you need to. Fine, like whatever. I wouldn't.
Well, it's week three. It's week three. You could give Trubisky the starters in the third quarter. You could give Trubisky the entire third quarter with the starters the entire third quarter if you want.
Fine,
right?
Fine. And so that's why I'm not gonna be. I'm not like ranting and raving and getting mad about it. But I see everyone says like, yeah, take from the second preseason game that Trubisky's got no shot. It's not gonna happen. He's gonna stay buried as the number three. That would be organizational malpractice, as far as I'm concerned. He's not going to get reps with the starter.
See, this is interesting because I believe you were, and a lot of people were, okay with the concept of Trubisky sits the first 4 weeks and then there he is in week five or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Right? You're okay with it conceptually. It's that now you saw him look as good as he did in week one and clearly not be given a chance to look that good in week two.
They neutered him. Neutered him Saturday night.
What they did? They pumped the brakes.
Yeah.
They pumped the damn brakes, and I hate when people pump the freaking brakes. I like being excited. Let us be excited. And they're not.
It struck me as not even cautious. It struck me as cowardice. And that's no way to develop a player, man. He might be good, and if he's good, it's not a bad thing. This opening segment is brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. No one wants to be the sweaty guy at work, right? So pick up some new Dove Men Plus Care. 91% of guys who use it recommend it.
We're going to talk to James Big Cat Williams today, the first of our post-Bears conversations with Big Cat.
That's right.
And we will talk to Jeff Passan about Major League Baseball, including umpires who have had their feelings hurt and do not feel supported and are wearing wristbands to tell you so. And then a whole bunch of other stuff, too. I think there's one of the toughest guys in sports is leaving the field, and I want to talk about him for a moment at some point, and it's Eclipse Madness, which I know.
Eclipse-a-palooza.
Man.
Oh, get on board.
I'm in.
Shocking.
How jaded and how like hipper than thou do you have to be to diminish an extraordinary cosmic coincidence like this today?
I'll show you over the course of the next 4 hours. It's Spiegelman Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
It's all relative, you know, when you get to that, you know, who it's against. It's no different in this game than it's been in any preseason two games.
Yeah, you know, Good job, Campy, playing that from John Fox. The audio brought to you by Gateway Classic Cars. Gateway Classic Cars of Chicago now has a new home. Come visit at their new location, 1329 Commerce Drive in Crete. First 50 consignments are free. For more information, call 866-430-2345. That is nonsense.
I need to hear that again. It's the Spiegel and Parkins show. I have two immediate reactions when I hear John Fox. One is to myself go, well, you know,
which I enjoy.
It either comes out of my mouth or it happens in my head, one of the two.
Yeah.
And the other is to just not listen because I'm so used to him saying nothing. So I'm going to need to hear this again.
It's all relative, you know, when you get to that, you know, who's against. It's no different in this game than it's been in any preseason two game.
So his argument basically is it doesn't matter that Trubisky's not playing with higher quality competition because he's playing against lower opponents, right? If he's playing with the twos and the threes, he's playing against twos and threes, so it should be a wash. Here's why that argument doesn't hold. He might start at for you, right? Like at some point, Mitch Trubisky is going to start. He's not out there against number two overall picks, right? He was an unbelievable college quarterback for a season. He should be better than everybody else out there. So when you play him with a bunch of guys who are going to get cut against a bunch of other guys who are going to get cut, are you putting him in a position where he can dominate?
No. you're not putting him in a position to get better. Like, you're not using his actual playing time to have him get better. If he's supposed to get used to NFL speed and instincts, why don't you want him watching Tyrann Mathieu patrol the secondary against him? Why don't you want him seeing the best defenders? Why don't you want him worrying about Chandler Jones? And if he's going to be worrying about Chandler Jones, then he better have Josh Sitton protecting him instead of Cyril Richardson. Is that his name?
Yes, Cyril Richardson, nice. William Poles, and Bradley Sowell.
Because that's the other thing is that he almost got destroyed a couple times. Did Mitch Trubisky by an aggressive Cardinals defense going against, you know, the jamokes of the third string Bears O line. So yeah, you are damaging his chances of learning and looking good and gaining confidence. They're more focused on Mike Glennon looking good and gaining confidence in this preseason than they are Mitch Trubisky. That's just the truth of it.
And again, I still have no problem if Mike Glennon starts, if Mitch Trubisky has been given a fair shake at it. And if he doesn't get reps with the starters in week three, he won't. So this isn't real anger yet. This is like a preemptive strike based on how they were talking about it coming out of game two.
Trubisky
has to play with the starters in the third preseason game. He has to.
I see this as your understandable frustration with what you thought was going to play out, playing out anyway. I mean, because this is what you thought, and I think you were behind it too, Danny. It's like the idea of, look, let Glennon play against the incredibly tough defenses of the first 4 or 5 weeks. Let Mitch learn. Go ahead, build the team around him. Figure out who the best offensive linemen are to protect him. So when you do put him in, you've decided which are the best wide receivers. Adam Shaheen is up to speed, etc. Tariq Cohen is in there as lightning to Jordan Howard's thunder, etc. Build everything else and then place him in there when the nucleus is ready around him.
But I also assume...
Although a nucleus is in the middle, so I'll work on it.
Right, you can work on the analogy. But I also assumed, and it was taking them at face value, that Glennon was much further ahead of Mitch Trubisky than he is. Right? Like that's a huge difference. They were talking about Mitch Trubisky like he wasn't ready and like he has some sort of tremendous command of everything football. Now I've seen it. He doesn't. If Trubisky is better, then he should play. And I don't know that they're going to give us a chance to see if he's actually better.
I think that's a fair point. Like, I think
that's the difference. That's what's changed for me since before the game started.
If they don't believe he's ready, then they should probably say so this week. Shouldn't they?
They could announce Glennon as the week one starter.
They could
completely take anything out of it and say that it doesn't matter what happens in preseason game number three.
And then you're kind of free to do whatever you want without worrying about confidence or that kind of thing if you're concerned about it. Well, let's keep talking about this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back in on the Spiegel and Parkins show, Jeff Passan at 11, James Big Cat Williams at noon. I don't really see an argument against giving Trubisky reps with the starters in the third preseason game. I'm not going to say he needs to start against the Falcons. I just don't understand why that wouldn't progress his development more.
No, I think it probably would. Yeah. I bet you will. Don't you think you'll see him with the ones at some point, even if it's just the third quarter, and he'll be in there with the ones? I think you will.
Okay. I hope so. It didn't sound like it coming out of the game with what we just played from John Fox saying it doesn't matter, ones versus ones, twos versus twos.
Oh, God, if they don't.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, man.
And then seeing another team do it and seeing how well it looked, like it looked like honest progression for Patrick Mahomes from game one to game two.
Well, Andy Reid is a far more bold, sometimes to a fault, head coach than John Fox has ever been. John Fox has been conservative and succeeded by being conservative to the point of getting drummed out of Denver because his boss and Peyton Manning were frustrated with him as a coach.
For sure.
And as a strategist. I mean, how many times have we seen, and I'll always think of Peyton Manning taking a knee in the final moments of a playoff game against the Ravens to play for overtime, and then they lost in overtime.
Right, they have Peyton Manning.
Yeah, you got freaking Peyton Manning, and you're afraid to drive down for a potential winning field goal? No, let's go to overtime, and then they lost, and they deserve to lose. I mean, Fox is scared to be bold, and it would be bold in a lot of ways to end up playing your rookie quarterback earlier rather than later.
All you do is subject yourself to a few more column inches, a few more radio host opinions, a few more fan calls if he looks better than Mike Glennon. You don't have to listen to them. Like, you don't have to play Mitch Trubisky. If, say, Mike Glennon has two picks in the first half of the game against the Titans with the ones, and then Trubisky comes in the third quarter and leads a touchdown drive, that doesn't mean that you have to give him the job. But we talk about, like, the development of Mitch Trubisky, right? Improving Mitch Trubisky. I don't see how another game like Saturday night develops Mitch Trubisky. Well, playing against third stringers with third stringers, getting his head ripped off, handing the ball off nine times. I don't see how that would help him.
I think they're just locked and loaded with the idea of not playing him right away because of how far away he was in their minds in terms of skill set, and maybe because of overall philosophy. You know, there is obviously the school of thought that says you're better off sitting.
Right.
I want to talk to Mark Sanchez about this. I really do, because Mark Sanchez played very quickly and went to what AFC Championship game in each of his first two seasons.
Yeah, rookie season, AFC Championship game.
Right,
yeah.
And I think season two as well.
Yeah, went to back. Yeah.
So and I know that he was carried by a defense and all of that, but the effects of playing early, you know, and this is why Sanchez is a really interesting guy. We're supposed to talk to him today, and I hope we can, because he has been everybody in this situation. Right. He's been Mike Glennon given a chance, and this is your team. Hold on to the job. And then he does not. He's been Mitch Trubisky, the high draft pick. Here you go. And he's obviously been the backup and sort of the caretaker of the room like he was in Dallas last year. That's what he's supposed to be this year.
312-644-6767. Vince in Rogers Park is on the score. Go ahead, Vince.
You know, can I use the analogy real quick about, like, you as a broadcaster about taking somebody's place as a rookie and all that, and his ability to draw the crowd, have knowledge, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't usually agree with you, but I'm going to tell you this. Why is it that we can't draft somebody high and play them in the NFL? Can we break from our savings for a minute? I don't agree with you 100%. So if we don't learn, if we don't reach the golden panacea about Mr. Trubisky, maybe we win, maybe we draw some people that want to play here. When we got, like, Cruz back there, wouldn't you love to get into the playoffs with Trubisky and throw some touchdowns to Cruz? I just want to say that I'm on the same page with you about how you feel and your passion about this. I may not have been on the same page with you about Cutler.
Well, hey, listen, man, Vince, we don't have to agree on everything, and I appreciate the call. Here's the thing. It's actually going more in the direction of playing your rookie early. Right? Like, recent history,
it is.
The majority of top 10 quarterbacks actually play from day one.
Unless they're in a system which did not prepare them and they have fundamental skills they have to still acquire, like Jared Goff last year.
Right, so I'm fine if it's a case-by-case basis of when you do or do not play the guy. Again, it's not about Mitch Trubisky needing to be the week one starter. It's that Mike Glennon has not done anything to earn that job other than his salary.
And to me, it's really about the part where I really agree is that your time should be spent getting this kid better and getting this kid ready to be what he could be.
Yeah.
Getting him ready to be a star. So that's what the entire freaking year about is the development of this guy and the acquisition of skills and comfort level. And you're not doing him any favors by playing him with the threes.
It is completely possible, by the way, just for devil's advocate against my own argument, it is completely possible that in the locker room, in the quarterback room, Mitch Trubisky only knows 25% of the playbook.
Right. That's these are the kind of things we don't know.
Right. So that is totally possible.
And
that,
he's the only one who has said it. He's the only one who has said a semblance of, you know what, I'm not ready. Because he told you all those things he's still making mistakes right. about last week.
So it's possible that for a game plan against the Falcons that would need to be way more complicated and complex than a preseason game, Mitch Trubisky just flatly isn't ready. Fine. If that's the case, then fine. Then give him a limited number of play calls like you've done in preseason game number one and two with the starters. That's all. Just see him play with better players around him and then scale him back to second or third team on the depth chart and let Mike Glennon start week one. That would be totally fine.
It feels like they are very concerned with controlling the storyline and conversation, right? With all their words, it feels like they are very concerned with that. And if that's the case, do they need to come out at some point this week and somebody other than Mitch Trubisky say, you know what, he's not quite ready? And if you say that, are you damaging Mitch? You shouldn't, you know, are you, what, you know, what does that indicate if you do that? And do they need to do that? And obviously, naming Glennon the week one starter would be very, very clear to do it that way. That'd be pretty interesting.
They won't, because they don't tip their hand on anything early than they need to, because it's the NFL. But that would certainly shut all of us up.
Yeah.
If they said, what are you guys talking about? We've said it's Mike's year. Nothing's changed. He's our week one starter against Atlanta, barring injury. Anything could happen. He can go 0-for-5 with 5 interceptions, and he's starting week one against the Falcons. They could say that.
I see the wisdom in doing that, though. I really do. Because then you're really freed up to make whatever decisions you want to about this particular game without people jumping to crazy conclusions.
The Cubs had a sweep over the Blue Jays. Let's discuss that, though. Also, other notes of other players beyond quarterbacks from the Bears game. Next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back in on the Spiegel and Parkin show, we'll talk to Jeff Passan at 11 and James Big Cat Williams at noon, hoping, yes, like you said, for Mark Sanchez at some point today. Texter wrote in, or no, you know what? Before we get to the texter's point, let's go through your thought process of announcing before the game that Glennon's going to be the starter.
If they were to do that, if they were to tell you, look, Mike Glennon's going to start week one. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky has a tremendous amount to still learn. We're thrilled with his progress, but we're going to take our time with this and give Mike a chance to do what he does. Then this Sunday, if you want to rotate them, you want to swap them, you want to play Trubisky the second quarter, or even if you just play him the third quarter with the ones, you know, you can hope that they both look great without having to worry about damaging the confidence or damaging the thought process for Mike Glennon that he's got the job, or building narrative in the public if you care about it, or like reading column inches about it should be Mitch's time. Go ahead and name him the week one starter, and then you can do whatever the hell you need to do and do the right thing by Mitch Trubisky without worrying.
Don't you think they would say, we already have? We've said it's his whole year. We've said it's Mike's year. Why do we need to come out and say flatly that he's the week one starter against Atlanta?
Because it sure feels like, I think to all of us, that they did whatever they could to hold back Mitch's chance of looking great on Saturday night. And that just doesn't make any sense for anybody. It really doesn't.
I'm with you.
It certainly doesn't make any sense for Mitch, which is the number one priority.
Yeah, he was not put in a very good situation. He had no offensive line play. He had no running game. Took what really was two sacks. One obviously doesn't show up in the stat sheet because of the penalty that he drew on the face mask. But yeah, it did not really seem like a step forward or backwards. Uh-huh. It just kind of felt like It was, he came in with 2 minutes and change left in the third quarter and played the entire fourth quarter. It just kind of felt like he was there. It didn't really feel like there was any sort of progress or regression from game one.
I don't think that it's clear to everybody that Glennon's definitely the game one starter. I mean, I think maybe they thought it was, but if they don't realize that that needs to be said or that's up in question, then they're doing a terrible job of reading the room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that is definitely true. And, you know, you could say, hey, you're overreacting to how good he looked week one. And that'd be a totally fair argument for them to make, because internally and externally, we have never given anybody any impression other than Mike Glennon will be our starting quarterback. And they haven't. It's just their play in the two games that everyone has seen. It certainly has looked like Trubisky is either better or certainly not any worse than Mike Glennon.
It just looked like they did everything they could to make sure Glennon had a chance to look good, and Trubisky did not have that same chance. Here's a text, a long text. I don't understand what everyone's problem is with sitting Trubisky. He's an investment. The team is still bad. Put Glennon in there to take the lumps and build a more competent team. Look at the quarterbacks that have been huge flops from college. How many of those are because they played for terrible teams with nothing around them? Do you think that one method is a more effective way to develop a quarterback than the other? Legitimately asking, because I believe sitting a future star is more effective, but I don't have the research to support it.
There's data points on both sides, right? It's situational. It's based on how ready the quarterback is, how good the team is around him. There are, for every example of Aaron Rodgers who sat, there's the example of Troy Aikman who played and went 1-15, or Peyton Manning who led the league in interceptions and still ended up fine. Or there's Jake Locker who sat for half of his first season and ended up being bad. Like, I can give you examples of good, bad, mediocre all across the board. So it kind of comes out. Back to the idea of fear, though.
Uh-huh.
Texter brought in this other point, and I don't want to go this far in terms of, I want to give Ryan Pace the benefit of the doubt here, but he's asking of course they're saying that it's going to take a while for Mitch Trubisky, because Ryan Pace doesn't want to go to the McCaskey family and explain how he cost them $18.5 million of their own money for a backup quarterback. Do you think that that is a part of the calculus here for Ryan Pace?
Nah, I think he sold him on the logic of doing what he did. I don't think it was that difficult to sell him on the logic. You have money that you have to spend. You had nothing. So now you went out and you got two quarterbacks. Let's see what you got.
I think so, too. And I think Ryan Pace has a tremendous amount of job security. And I think that he could sell it as a positive. Be like, I didn't think Trubisky was going to be this ready this soon. And he is. Mm-hmm. And he won the job. So it's, trust me, it's not a bad thing to play the rookie quarterback. And flush that one out a little further. If he plays the other guy who's worse because he needs to do it to protect himself because of money, and then Mike Glennon's awful in the regular season, and then you've lost 4 or 5 games, and then Trubisky comes in and looks good, the McCaskies could go to him and say, well, why didn't you play him sooner? We could have maybe not lost all of these games by playing Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
I would like to think that Ryan Pace will play the quarterback who's actually the better of the two quarterbacks.
Well, as long
I would
as
like
it's,
to give him
as,
the benefit of the doubt.
As long as it's his call.
Right.
You know, it's a question of how much John Fox's voice matters and what John Fox thinks is the better quarterback, and the better quarterback in his mind might be the one who makes fewer mistakes. And so far that's actually, it's Trubisky and not Glennon.
Yeah,
actually,
I have it here. Trubisky has played, hold on, 8 possessions, 65 plays, 2 games, no turnovers, 1 almost interception. But, I mean, he got lit up a couple times, didn't seem close to fumbling. Like, he's protected the football.
Meanwhile, Glennon's given up a pick six, a brutal interception on the goal line, and should have had 1 or maybe even 2 more.
Exactly.
I want to do this real quick before we break. This is what happened in the preseason when Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson were together.
Oh, nice.
For Seattle, because that is a comp that we've brought up before. And was Russell Wilson given a chance to play with the ones in this particular preseason? Wilson entered in the third quarter with the backups and finished the game in week one of the preseason. Week two of the preseason, he entered in the third quarter with the backups and finished the game. That was the game. Week two of the preseason, Russell Wilson went 10 of 17, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He had a touchdown in the first game, 2, 12 of 16, 124. Then here we go. Week three, Matt Flynn was hurt. That's the big variable here. Matt Flynn did not play. Russell Wilson started the game and played 3 quarters in week 3 of the preseason that year. Flynn was hurt. Wilson started, went 13 of 19 for a 185 and 2 touchdowns. And then he was named the starting quarterback. So then week 4, Wilson started, played some of the first quarter, and then Matt Flynn came in and mopped up.
Of course.
But there you go. So week 3, Matt Flynn was hurt, and Russell Wilson played his third consecutive excellent game. That's, we don't really have a...
Pete Carroll got a ton of love for that decision, right?
Ton of love. And ton of love from me since draft day, thinking about the possibilities of what this could be. Go ahead and get to see what happens in camp.
Different, obviously, that Russell Wilson didn't have the hype of Trubisky, was a third round pick instead of a second overall pick. But in theory, that should make it easier to play Trubisky than Russell Wilson, right? You have so much invested in him as a draft pick. Of course you'd want to get him on the field.
But I had forgotten about the convenience of the elbow injury for Matt Flynn.
Funny how that works. Yeah. How the injury can just pop up right when you need it in football. You want to talk Javi baseball?
Yeah, man. The dude, El Mago, I mean, the magic of that guy. Every day, a brilliant and beautiful baseball moment. What a month for Javi in a breakout offensive season.
It's Spiegel and Parkins on the score.